I'm really just going to continue kind of the message that we're on is really preaching, teaching, sharing through kind of our mission statement that we've been walking through. And were you able to find it? Okay, sweet. I didn't actually have it in the PowerPoint, but Daniel might, we might be able to get it up there. But last week, 2 weeks ago, Daniel actually got to speak on that. Can we get it? Oh, there we go. As DP, you know, our mission, this is kind of a longer version of what you would see out and about, but really our mission is to be a family of hope-filled believers who make a difference in every area of life by encountering God's presence, embracing his heart, empowering one another, and engaging the world. And so, man, if you could do those four E's, you know, think about life. If you're encountering God, if you're embracing his heart, like walking in his heart, he's got a big heart, right? Walking in his heart. If you're empowering one another, we're able to do the body life together, empowering one another. Then we're able to engage the world and make a difference in the world. Man, that's just an incredible mission to shoot for. And so today, 2 weeks ago, Daniel kind of talked about on the making a difference in area of life part. And I'm going to go up and catch, again, the first part of that, a family of hope-filled believers. And even last week, it was really cool. 2 weeks ago, Daniel's word was just really powerful. I don't know if it's back up on the website yet as far as teaching, but I encourage you to go listen to it because, man, you talk about two words that really came out. You know, obviously, there was a prophetic word about wells, and then he taught on wells. It was really cool. We didn't set that up, I promise. Like, God spoke a prophetic word about welling place, and I don't know if you remember that. Jared King came up and spoke a word on welling place, and that was what we were talking about, wells, that morning. It was just a confirmation that God really wants to make us wells, like, to make sure that, like, in the Old Testament, if the enemy went and covered over your well, you needed to dig it back out because that's the only way you're going to survive, because that's the life. There's life in it. There's life, the water of life. To be those type of wells in this world, to make a difference, to be able to be a well. But he also talked about Isaac in the midst of a famine, Abraham, Isaac, and that whole crew. In the midst of a famine, he plants, and guess what? He gets no crop or what? He gets a hundredfold crop. In the midst of a famine. Anybody want to do that?
Yes.
Oh, four, three or four? Eric, come on, man. I want to be able to be in a place where I plant in the midst of a famine and I get a hundredfold fruit. Because I don't know, sometimes in this world it feels famine-ish, like, you know, maybe it's in the midst of a relationship. Maybe it's in the midst of your work or whatever. But, man, what if you went into work and you planted and all of a sudden you got a hundredfold fruit? Anybody want that in their workplace? Anybody want that in their school? What if you went over to tech and you declared, planted some seed and you saw a hundredfold fruit? Man, that would be awesome, even in the midst of a famine. So making a difference. Alan and Tammy Hill were here last week, and they gave a great message of hope, even talked about the woman caught in adultery and just the fact that nobody had any rocks in their hand at the end of that message, you know? And he encouraged us to maybe make sure that we don't have rocks in our own hands, you know, that God really wants to bring freedom in that and make us people of hope that can give hope to a woman caught in adultery, you know, that we can be those type of people. So today I really want to focus on this first mission statement, first part of the mission statement, a family of hope-filled believers, all right? I mean, I love talking about family. I love talking about church. It's just kind of who I am. It's just the joy I have to watch people thrive in the body of Christ, in the family of God that I would call it. And it's kind of interesting. Anybody stay up late watching the game last night? One person watched the game last night? I just don't want to admit it. We didn't do so hot, right? Who stayed at home and stayed up for it? Oh, so who went to the game? Sorry, I meant to ask that. Who went to the game? Got a few people. All right, sweet. Who stayed up for it? All right. Who stayed up for it and is really not here this morning? So if you fall asleep, I can give you a little grace. No. It's kind of interesting. Football for our family, since we're talking about family, really football has been a family affair for us because, obviously, if you didn't know, Frank Beamer is my uncle. And if you didn't know that, that's Just a little known fact, right? It's actually my mom's here this morning. It's her brother, and from the Beamers, yeah. So you know, it's kind of interesting. You start thinking about fan versus family. I grew up going to football games, so I grew up going when they used to have the end zone that they just built in. Concreted, they used to just have a scoreboard in a big old empty field. And we used to go in a place where dad and mom would just drop us off at the little field and we would play football. We just play football while they were playing the football game. We would just play as kids. We played football underneath the scoreboard, you know, on that field. You know, because there's only about, I don't know, 20,000-30,000 fans maybe at that point. You know, you go through those 3-8 seasons long enough, or 4-6, or 6-4, you don't really gather a whole lot of people unless they're family, really, right? You know, when you start winning, like we, you know, started winning when Brandon played football. Really, my whole family, all my cousins went to Tech at least a part of their college career. Brandon got to play football for 4 years. My older brother, Mike, played for a couple years. My dad and my two uncles played football at Tech. So it's just been family for us, you know. And so you can't root for Tech. But, you know, you start thinking about, you know, I always kind of kid around because, you know, there's a couple Alabama fans in here that are, you know, I feel like they're kind of bandwagoner fans. You know, did I say that out loud? Can you scratch that from the tape? You know, you kind of get in on the winning side of things, you know, like, oh, this is a winning team, so I'll kind of get in on the game right now, you know, start, you know, getting on it. But there's the fact of the matter, probably there's some Tech fans that might have gotten in on the, you know, the fun side of life. You know, when Brandon started playing, after Brandon played, I don't think we've had a losing season since then, I believe. It's Brandon's fault. He started in 93, we went to the Independence Bowl, and I don't think we've had a losing season since. We've came close. These last couple of years, we've come close. But, you know, so since that time, it's been a little bit easier to be a Tech fan. It's easier to be a Tech fan, but are you family? That's a bigger question. And family rides out the good times and the bad times. I mean, we were in it in the midst of craziness, you know. And so I would like to suggest we do which would be awesome, we just take Alabama and maybe the New England Patriots, let them have a 10-year losing streak. And I would just like to guess and venture that there wouldn't be as many fans of Alabama or New England Patriots as there are now. Why? Because you find out what is family, not in the good times, sometimes it's in the bad times, the hard times. We just went through, you know, Jen Cesario, amazing woman of God. Just went through a hard time. But the cool part is that I know who's family in here because we came together. There was a celebration of life for her. You know, a whole, you know, group of people came together and said, man, this is our family. Like, she is family, and she is still family. And you know, you talk about, you know, the Brandons and the Tammy St. Clairs, you know, those have gone on. They're family, you know, and what God has kept us together in this place is family. And so I really wanted to talk about that you know, surrounding that. You know, and the hard part about talking about family is some people, that word family is a really good word. If you've come from good family, you've enjoyed your family, you've been able to, enjoy the ins and outs of family, but some probably are, they think of family and they don't think that word's a great word. And I just really believe, I feel like the Lord's saying, I want to give you some vision this morning, whether you've had great family or maybe family is not so great and that word is not it's been a hard word for you. I just want to take you back down to a foundation where you can begin to build from that, whether it's good or bad, that you have a foundation for family. Because I really believe God created family first and foremost. And we'll look at that as we go. But I would just encourage you that vision for family, it's worth it. The family is the reason you're here this morning. And I would even say the reason that you're on this planet is for family. this morning. So I want to kind of share about this morning. So obviously, it's kind of been interesting. It's a crazy week, too. Obviously, we've been doing Airbnb for our house, so we've been able to stay with Mom and Dad, which is great. But it's been a crazy week, and it's funny. I always like it when God kind of confirms things, you know, because you always start thinking about, what are you going to share, and this, that, and the other. Yeah, I think I was in McDonald's grabbing a tea or something, and this lady had family tattooed right here on her thing with a little arrow, and I was like, okay. And then I saw family on a big billboard. Two days ago I was driving, and this car shows up right beside me. That it's an advertisement for what do you do? It's not adopting. What's the other one? Foster care. Yes, foster. Thank you. Foster care. And it said family first. You know, and I was like, okay, that's great. And then I went over to Jeff's house the other day, and why did I just forget? Jeff and Beth Thompson, Jeff Thompson's house, and I saw on their wall, you know, just a scripture that I was using in Acts 2. And so I just feel like the Lord is just confirming that this word about family is huge. And I want to start with this Ephesians passage real quick, because there's a call to family. Oh, and if you don't have a handout, can you, Tulio is going to grab those, and once he gets back in, if you will raise your hand, that would be great. I want you to get you a handout if you don't have a teaching this morning. Yes. And I'll take it. Anybody got anybody need one? Yeah, I never tell that Frank Beamer story. Well, I used to not tell people I was Frank Beamer's nephew, because then they would just ask me for tickets. But I love taking people to the games, but or autographs, either way. So, so it was always kind of funny. But I am kind of missing that. I don't get tickets anymore, unless Mom and Dad get extra ones. We don't get them. So that was a benefit of being family when somebody's coaching. This Ephesians passage is a really cool passage, and I just kind of want to walk through it for a second, because we're going to talk about the call to family, the call to be family, and then the call to connect in family. It's kind of a little progression there. But through Christ, we have our access in one spirit to the Father. So he's just talking about how Jews and Gentiles came together, you know, and they are now one because of Christ, because of what he did on the cross. Like, he brought the two groups into one. And so that's what he's kind of picking up on here. For through him, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access to who? The Father, okay? You see that a lot. I mean, if we were just talking about a non-family member, we just mentioned God or Lord the whole time. But man, there's so many scriptures where Paul, where Peter, where, you know, talks about Father. Like, so there's this family resemblance there. So one access, one spirit to the Father. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens. That's a good word. Like, you're no longer strangers and aliens. If you feel that and you've been walking in that, God's calling you to a deeper place, because you're no longer a stranger. You're no longer an alien. When you come to Christ, when you know Christ, when you make Jesus Lord of your life, you're no longer a stranger and alien. Like, don't walk in that place. But think about this, but you're a fellow citizen. Now, that's good. I mean, I want to be a fellow citizen. I appreciate America. I appreciate other countries. You know, there's citizenship for those countries. And that's one level. That's a good level to be a good citizen, to be honorable and respectful and things like that. But you're a fellow citizens with the saints. That's good. That's one level. But I love it that God doesn't stop there. Like, then that would be, you really would belong to kind of an organization. Like, you'd just be coming to church to kind of be a part of maybe a social club that's above one of the social clubs in the area. You know, but I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather not just be known as a social club. As a body of Christ, you know, I think we're more than that. And so I love this next statement. You are fellow citizens with saints and are of God's household. Let that just sink in for a second. Like, So I know I'm of my mom and dad's household. So, I mean, we were able to go and hang out at the house, enjoy all the food, enjoy this. I mean, there's benefits of being a part of a household, right? Like, it's not I'm a citizen and, you know, just a part of a citizen of this house. I'm a part of the household. I'm a son. You know, that you're a daughter. You're a son in the house. And so there's a facet of just getting back down to the reality that you belong to God's household. Like, just broad general. Like, I just wanted to start there. You are a part of God's household. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together, that's another area we'll get into a little bit later, being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together into a dwelling place in the Spirit. You know, that's just kind of part of who we are, even dwelling place's name. That's a desire in our hearts, just to be a dwelling place for where God, it's his household. It's his place. He comes in, like, we get to become this morning to be a part of his household. So if you came to this morning just to come to church, I pray that there's going to be a facet that you even grow in that this morning. You understand and know that you're a part of God's household. Like, there's a facet of family that God wants to take you into. Flip to the next one. This is in 1 Timothy. Yeah, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I'm delayed, this is Paul declaring to Timothy, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, you know, the pillar of truth. And so there's this reality that you have to realize as you came this morning, you might have thought you were just coming to church, to come to a service, to come to, you know, to get it, check in, check out, maybe, whatever that looks like for you. But my heart is that you understand it. It's a bigger story than that. It's a bigger picture than that. You are part of God's household. Like, you are a part of the house. All right? And so there's this identity. There's this facet of God, what God wants to grasp this morning. To be, you know, just that first facet, the call to family. You got to know that you're called to family. You're called to God's household. And we can take that on a general level as God, like the church in general. But my encouragement is, whether it's here or whether it's somewhere, that you become part of a family, like a local family that you can walk with. Because in times like we just went through with Jen, I don't know what I'd do without you guys. Like, I don't know what I would do without the family of God to walk through those type of things, those hard moments in a personal life, but then, you know, with all of us being able to walk through that. And God's so faithful in that. God's so faithful to those, and I'm going to get to even more, some more of that type of thought in just a minute. It's kind of been really interesting, because you think about household, you kind of think more sons and daughters, right? You know, we've even been really strong. I think we've been really strong in inner healing and relationship, to really encouraging you that you're a son and that you're a daughter. Like, you've got to get that baseline identity really down well, and I feel like we've done that pretty well. Like, over the years, I think if you haven't heard the word son and daughter out of a message at least every 4 or 5 weeks, then you probably, maybe, I don't know, maybe you were scattered and missed those. But the reality is that almost, I mean, we've been consistent with that. But I want to take us to a level where we're consistent on another level. Because you start thinking about household, most of the time you think father to son, like daughter, son, daughter. But I think one area that we need to also, again, I don't think it's that I just don't think we focused on as much as being brothers and sisters. Because if you're in a household and you got sons and daughters, you also have what? Brothers and sisters. You also have what? Mothers and fathers. I mean, that back that way, but brothers and sisters. And being able to walk in this place of, you know, I mean, I appreciate it. I love my brother and sister. I call her sister because she's a sister, because we don't do the whole in-law thing. But you know, my brother and sister, I love the fact that they're physical brother and sisters. But, man, it sure does up a level when you start talking about my spiritual brother and sister. Like, that's just a whole nother level. And so my heart is that you can start grasping this arena that God wants to not only family in relationship to you, knowing that you're a son and daughter. I think we've done well with that over the years. I want to continue to nail down it also kind of bleeds into empowering one another, but that whole facet. I won't go there today, but the reality is being brothers and sisters, like being conscious of that. You know, this world is so geared to trying to make us this conscious or just this conscious. Like, all I can do is at least get my relationship with God, you know, make sure this is good. But God wants to begin to say, man, make sure that you're looking out for brothers and sisters, you know. You think about even the garden. I mean, that was the whole thing. You know, he got Adam and Eve out of the garden, and then even the family life of the first family that we have is, you know, Cain and Abel. You know, there was even an attack on that, you know, to try to create division and death. And so God wants to make sure that we're living life with brothers and sisters, with the family of God. All right? So, when we printed it off, it went back and I'm back in front. I got to make sure I'm on the right page. All right, so go on to the next one. So flip on to the next part in your, the call to be in family. This is really cool. Just three areas. The call from the beginning. I just want to take you back to the beginning. Genesis 1:26. Again, just a couple foundations. And then we're going to see what Jesus kind of spoke in these areas. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps the earth, over the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of man, he created them. Male, female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to him, what's the first thing that he says to him? Be family. Like, multiply, divide out, multiply, and subdue the earth. Like, create family, and like, I really believe like that's his mission. If we can be family, we will subdue the earth. Like, the body of Christ, if we are truly family, we are gonna take over the earth. And we will one day, you know, when he comes back, we'll do that. But until then, I just wanna keep striving for that, you know. Let's take over this earth with family, with the family of God. And I love the fact, I spoke on this a while back, but I love the fact in verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. Now, if you remember, I spoke about that a while back, and if you weren't here, the first 5 days at the end of the statement he makes every day, he says, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. Like, if you go through those first 5 days, it was good. But all of a sudden, he adds family, and then all of a sudden, he's like, what? Very good. Very good. So he just kind of like, well, okay. He doesn't miss words in there. The reason that it's very good is because of what? You. He created the heavens. I mean, the expanse of the heavens, billions of galaxies. I mean, crazy. I mean, I can't even think of what's out there. I mean, all that was incredible, but he called it good. I would call it incredible. He calls it good. And then all of a sudden he created us, and he says it's what? Very good. And he created family and says it's very good. So just the foundation, you got to understand. We got to know that this call is to family. And obviously, you know, I meant to say this at this point, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, Cain and Abel, the very first facets of family the enemy's trying to what? Already take out. So you got to know this is what we're called to. Don't think that the enemy wants you to hold it together. I mean, God wants to hold it together, right? And he can hold it together. And we're going to look at some of those things. So from the very beginning, God created family. For this time, for this season. So the interesting thing is that as I was studying this thing, the Lord just showed me three passages that Jesus, that I wanted to pick out from Jesus. You know, because Jesus, it's always a good example to go back to Jesus, right? I mean, he always is the baseline. If you can get back to that and get down to what he declared. So I want to show you three interactions he had with people, all right? The first one was, obviously, you all know some of these passages, but first one is this woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. Y'all remember she endured much at the hands of physicians. She spent all that she had and was not helped, but rather had grown worse. I don't know if you ever feel like you've gotten there. You know, you feel like you've spent everything. You feel like you've just gotten worse. Everything's getting worse, whatever. And all of a sudden, after hearing about Jesus, she's like, man, I should at least try that. If I've spent everything, let me go after him. So she goes up behind him. She says, if I can only touch his garments. She goes on up there. immediately, you know, she touches him. Immediately, the flow of blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that power proceeded from him, turned around in the crowd. And of course, that's the funniest question maybe in the Bible. One of the funniest questions about it, who touched me? Because the disciples were like, what are you talking about? Like, were you, like, if I brought all of you up and put you on this laminate and you're walking, that's what it looked like, you know? So all of a sudden he's like, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody is touching you. Like, there's, what are you talking about? And he said, wait a second, somebody touched me. And so all of a sudden he turns around and he looks to the woman who had done this. And obviously, if you remember the background, this woman's not even supposed to be out. Like, really, to have hemorrhaging, the, I'm not sure if it's in the law or the addition to the law that the Jews put in there, but there's a reality that she was unclean and some things like that. And so all of a sudden she comes out, and but the woman, fearing and trembling because she knew, you know, what she had done, aware of what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, woman, or he said to her, outcast, what are you? Why did you touch me? Woman, why did you touch me? I mean, he addressed other people like that, woman or man, whatever. What did he address her as? I mean, the very thing she needed more than the healing. This is sometimes we just get it, this is a healing scripture. Like, this is, he did it all in one shot. Like, he not only did he heal her, but now he's going to give her her identity. Amen. He's going to speak into her identity. And so if we don't have that baseline family identity of daughter and son, wow, definitely get that. But then I'm going to ask you to take another step and begin to think as a brother and as a sister in the Lord. Begin to think as a father and mother in the house. Begin to think about family in that context, because I think God's wanting to transform us. Because, again, the world's trying to get us so inward, self-focused, sometimes we can't get outside of that. And so I love that. This is one of my favorite passages of the whole Bible, because all of a sudden he's saying, daughter, your faith has made you well. He didn't address her as, you know, outcast. He didn't address her as woman. He addressed her as daughter, because that's what he wants to speak into, what he wants to declare. And so make sure you grab that call to be in family. All right, look at this next one that he did. Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him, asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? So, of course, they're coming and starting to hammer on Jesus at some family issues, right? Because they know they're going to try to catch him in, you know, they always try to catch Jesus in this weird little predicament. And he answered and said to them, and I love, because Jesus never really answers their, he just never goes to their question sometimes, and he just answers it so well that you just don't even know what to say. But he answered and said, have you not read that he, and this is, remember, we just read this in Genesis. He goes back to the what? Beginning, right? And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? So he started there. They knew that. They knew that scripture from, you know, the Torah. And then all of a sudden he tags in the second part. And he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, this is Genesis as well, leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. The two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one. So what he's describing is that how he created in the beginning was you to be family and then step into family and then step into family and then step into family. That was the created purpose of family. You know, the two shall become one. What happened? All of a sudden, family, right? God creates family. When marriage, that's so critical. Marriage is so vital. Obviously, there's an attack on marriage to just disintegrate it, right? To try to make it what it's not. It's a holy union. It's a holy covenant. I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to get bogged down. But the reality is that God created it for you to step in from family to family to family. Family to family to family. And so, obviously, and he said, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, of course, they said, well, then why did Moses give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? Why? Because of your heart. Because it's the hard stuff, you know, but it wasn't that way from the beginning. What are you saying? Go back to the foundation. Go back to family has been in it from the very foundation. And I encourage you, now, I even almost didn't pull this up because sometimes we're in this age where, you know, people have gotten divorced and remarried and things like that. I encourage you, there's a really cool teaching, Chris Vallotton, or Vallotton, I always say his name wrong, in Bethel, did really recently, it was in the last about 3 weeks, he did this message on, you know, the redemption of the marriage in relationship to divorce and things like that, and it's really good. So if you've been through that, I mean, it's really cool, because sometimes, you know, there's a dishonor on both sides of that, you know, to where, you know, somebody feels like they have that scarlet letter for the rest of their life. And so I don't want to get into too much of that. It's a really good message. You got to listen to it. But I really wanted to speak this because what he was saying is like, you have to, family has to start at the beginning, has to begin at the base level. And God wants to really establish that. And so, you know, maybe family hasn't been a great thing up until this point, but you know what? You have an opportunity to establish that forward. Do you realize that? Anybody realize that, right? You know, it doesn't really, like, whatever it's been, maybe it's been great, make it greater. Maybe it's been not so great, make it greater. You know, it doesn't really matter. God wants to bring us together as family, physical family, but also spiritual family. But it wasn't that way from the beginning. Go ahead and on next one. Look at this one. It's kind of an interesting one, too. Then his mother and his brothers arrived. This is Jesus' physical mother, Mary, and his brothers arrived. And standing outside, they sent word to Jesus and called him. A crowd was sitting before Jesus, and they said to Jesus, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." So you would think he'd just say, "All right, that's cool. I'll get up and go see them." But he answered and said, "Who are my mothers and brothers?" He always asks good questions. Jesus is always a good question, you know, question to ask, because he wants to provoke something in you. He wants you to answer the question. Like, if he just gave you all the answers, then you're just, you know, okay, I'm a robot doing what. But if he asks you the question and then you listen to him and then get the answer, that's money right there. All right, so who are my brothers, my mother and my brothers? I think he gave a little silence there for just a second. And then he turned and he looked at the disciples and he spoke to them. He said, looking at those who were sitting around him, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers." What was he saying? For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Like, even Jesus himself was saying, and I don't think he was dishonoring his mother and brothers either. I think it was because I love my mom and dad. Like, I incredibly appreciate the physical raising up and growing up in a great family. But the reality is that Jesus was saying something like, this is an extended family. Like, this is a family that we get to enjoy. You know, you're my brother. You're my sister. There's fathers and mothers in here in the faith. You don't have to get all weird and crazy about that. It's just, you know, just you look up to them. You know, the John and Marcy McDermott, their father and mother's in the faith, right? You know, because of not because of, you know, all they're jumping through hoops. It's because of who they are. It's who they're walking. And I could go around, you know, the Duke. I could go around to each one of you guys and speak some things into you. Why? Because that's what you do. Brothers and sisters. I have amazing brothers and sisters in here outside of my physical brother and sister. Why? Because it's a family of God. You know, but some of that God wants to empower you to start thinking that way. It's a mindset change. It's a discipline, actually, that you have to start. Like, it's hard to think that way in this environment, especially in the environment of the United States right now, where it's all about trying to divide brothers and sisters out, right? I mean, I won't even go there. There's a whole other level you go there. But the call to be in family, that's why I just encourage you. Maybe there's been a disconnect for you to be in family, and I'm going to pray that in this next section, you'll get connected. All right, last section. This is kind of really cool. Sorry. There's one more section in that. Even in the new covenant, as Jesus comes back, establish the church, okay? What's the church supposed to look like, right? We'll go back to Acts, right? That's the first place you see it. They were continually devoting themselves to the teaching, to fellowship, right? Fellowship of believers, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many signs and wonders were taking place through the apostles, and all those who believed were what? Come on now. All those who were what? Together. and had all things in common. And they began even to the point where they would sell stuff and give it to you. Man, if anybody needs to sell some things and, you know, there's a reality that they were given to people in need. Like, they became such a family that they were so connected that all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, Steve's in need. I need to help. I need to walk in that. Or, you know, Daniel's in need. I got to help. Like, they were so connected, they were willing to sell all they have, you know, to sell it all and to give, you know, into that. And so, I just encourage us. And go on to the next statement in there, too. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness, sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to their number. So maybe the facet of growing in even numbers would be, are you getting it out and together? Maybe you just need to, maybe you've been frustrated because nobody's reaching out to you. I can guarantee you, you ask somebody to come and eat at your house, you will probably not get denied. Anybody ever get an invitation to a meal? I'm all right. I don't need your food. No, come on. Like, they were eating. They were, getting in people's homes, walking with people, okay? And the cool part is, I was going to bring even a facet of connect groups. Obviously, Tulia mentioned those, but there's even a whole set of connect groups here on the back that you can look through. Like, there's home groups, there's passion groups, there's net groups, there's all sorts of things going on in relationship to what God's doing. And maybe that's a facet of you can connect. I mean, maybe you can't go to one of these and you can invite somebody over to your house. Maybe you can go to one of these and get involved in some people's lives. Maybe you're like, Mitch, maybe I need to start one. We can still start them. That's fine. I'd love to add some more. I think we should have, 50 going at all times. So, because we're going to be so connected, people are going to want to be in those places. And so I just encourage you in that to look over those and really be a part of walking in this new covenant, in the new covenant. That's what he just declared into us. And so, all right, so where am I at? Go back to the last one? Okay, that's right. All right, so going on to that last phrase, sorry, that's why I don't like my pages back-to-back because I can't even remember where I'm at. So the call to this even new covenant in the 2 Corinthians, go on to that one. I'll speak this one. For we are a temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them, walk among them. I will be their God. They will be my people. Therefore, the call is to come out from the world. Come out from it and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean. That doesn't mean I can't ever interact with unsaved people, right? That can't mean I can't go out in the world. He's saying, come out from it. Don't look like it. Walk differently. If the whole world's, getting divided, well, you be united, right? I can always tell almost what I need to do in Christ is what the world's, trying to take me away from. The world wants to distract me with every single thing. Well, guess what? Maybe I need to get together alone with God. Maybe that's some time I need, or maybe I need to connect on a level like that. Doesn't matter. But there's a reality that, I will welcome you. I will be a father to you. You will be sons and daughters to me. That's new covenant. Like, that's the facet of what God wanted to speak into us as new covenant believers. Like, he wants to be father. He wants us to be sons and daughters, brothers, sisters, and the like. Go on to the next one. Last little piece. I want to close up here, and we're going to do communion together as a facet of really being family, walking in family. It's kind of interesting for this reason, the call to be connected in family, that's another level. Like, I can be in family. I don't do always a great job of connecting with mom and dad. I'm always, they connect with me a little bit more than I do. So there's a facet, I can be connected or I don't have to be connected, right? The call is to family. I can be in family, but now another level is, can I really be connected in family? And the Lord really gave a cool vision for this after the scripture. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You know, every family is connected. You know, we are all connected in this. And Lord gave me this, I didn't get the vision. Leah brought the, I think you were talking to Allison Key. No, Dana Farmer. I think I thought I saw her earlier. No, she's a nursery. But yeah, she came up to Leah and kind of shared this vision of the red. Anybody studied redwood trees? If you haven't, I want to just share, because I felt like, man, this is such a vision for what family is supposed to look like. And, you know, if you go on to that next little thing, do you realize that, like, redwood trees, I just want to give you a couple facts about them. I mean, obviously, if you see right there, Big Ben, Statue of Liberty, U.S. Capitol, all smaller than the biggest of redwood. I mean, if you want to put that in perspective, 379 feet. That's like past, like you stand a football field up long ways up, and it's bigger than that. All right? And you can see, obviously, there's some funny pictures right there. You know, a car goes through one. I mean, the little kids don't even, I mean, it just dwarfs humanity. All right? And you know what is crazy about redwood trees? All right, you know, just get in your mind. Think about how, I mean, you see how big that, I mean, you can't even, I mean, you see how big that one is. I mean, they can't, you can't even take a full picture of one hardly because it then dwarfs it down. It doesn't even bring it into perspective anymore. But because you can't even get it into perspective. It's so big. Think about what the root system in that tree it has to be. Think about it. How deep, you think it's got to be crazy deep, right? Crazy, I mean, right before I studied this, before she brought it to my attention, I would have told you it had to be hundreds of feet deep. I'd have been like, that's got to be 200 or 300 feet deep, like the roots, to be able to stand. Do you know that at max, that the root system in that tree right there is 12 feet? How do they do it? How do they do it? What they do is they actually grow in group groves, and then they interconnect their roots, and they go out 100 feet. And you know what the most resistant tree is, and one of the most resistant trees to fires, windstorms? These guys. They don't die. Like the only really natural, I mean, look at that. I don't know if these are total redwoods, but these are the type of systems that they create. You know, because, and you know, I mean, there's all sorts of crazy things I could bring out about it. They nourish, like they share nutrients one to another. You know, they grow so high that even in a drought, they'll take the fog and make it into water. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, just, there's so many facets about it. But I want to share the facet that, man, if somebody told me that that tree had 12 foot of root system, I'd have been like, there's no way I'm getting close to that because that thing's going to fall. I'm like, but you know why they stand? Because they're connected. They're so intricately connected. And the thing is that now sometimes, and maybe we'll talk about this next week a little bit, sometimes I think we have to grow crazy deep with one another. And there's going to be two or three people or maybe a group of people that you grow really deep. But if you don't get connected in the body of Christ, like stay connected. Like I said, the cool part is I look around here and I see so many incredible people, incredible giftings, incredible life. Like if we were all sharing and connected to one another, man, you talk about redwoods, that's how they grow. I mean, that's how they grow tall, and they stay tall, and they stay, they're the bark on it can be 3 foot thick, almost 3 foot thick, and it has fire-resistant stuff that they even put in the fire extinguisher. It has it in its bark. I mean, it's like crazy, like how incredible. And I think you start thinking about it and go on to the next thing. Think about this, but Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up. If you're going to grow up, anybody want to grow up? Sometimes I'm like, one day when I grow up, you know, it's like, I want to be like, you know, who can I be like today, you know? I want to be like Mike Tanglocks. You know, when I grow up, I want to be like Mike Tanglocks. You start thinking about it, when I'm going to grow up, I want to be like somebody, right? But when God says, if we're going to grow up, we're going to grow up in all aspects into him, from how are we going to do it? From the whole body. And if we're going to be the whole body, it's got to be being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. So can you tell me that you're not important to this body? You can't. Because it says every in that statement, right? Every joint supplies. And so there's a facet that you're important. Like, what you bring is important. Like, obviously, there's been frustration. There's been frustration in this body. You're not going to get a family. If anybody's gotten in a family where they have never had a disagreement, they've never had an argument, they've never had a... I mean, you might have been able to come close, but most of us haven't. But why? Because we're called to family. Why? Because I believe in the last scripture, which I think there's another slide, though, after this. Yeah, I love this. The strength of the family is in each member, and the strength of each member is in the family. You can't get away from it. If you want to be strong by yourself, if you're going to try to be a redwood by yourself, you're not going to make it. It blows down, right? I'm going to have the, Tulio, if you can grab the people, we're going to go ahead and start, kind of as I'm making this last thing, we're going to go ahead and start passing out. I want to pass out the elements. We're going to take communion, kind of as a response this morning. But think about this, the strength of each member is in the family. If we're not connected in those groves, there's a reality that you won't make it. Like, you think about in relationship to life. Like, that's what I'm saying. When things happen like a Gensasario, like, those are when you need to be connected so strongly that the winds of this nation, the winds of your circumstance, the winds of whatever comes and blows, or maybe a fire burns and you're not blown down. You're not burned up. You know, there's a reality of that. So they're going to be passing out and I would just want to encourage you, if you're a believer this morning, feel free to participate this morning. If you don't want to participate, that's okay. Just, pass the plate. Nobody's looking to see who gets it, who doesn't. Let me grab one as we're going. If you would love, if you don't know the Lord this morning as your, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's a great time to make Him Lord and Savior, to participate in all of who He is. Then let me speak this last scripture as they're saying. I love this. If you can just focus in as they're passing it. He did something with the body of Christ. Jesus took a big risk, probably the biggest risk He could take. He took some of His fullness and He put it somewhere. Like, He is fullness, that's Scripture. But in the same way, He took some of His fullness and put it somewhere. And where is that? All right, let's read it. And He put all things in subjection under His feet, gave Him to the head, as head over the church, all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So if you're going to get fullness and you think you're just going to do it with God, you won't make it. You'll be like a red tree that grows up really fast, and maybe you're awesome and you look awesome and you're majestic, but you can't, the wind's going to get you at some point. The wind is going to get you because you don't have, like, the reality is, there's a facet of that God wants to create community so that when the winds and waves and the fires come, that you're able to withstand that. Actually, a fire is actually a great thing for the redwoods. It's actually something that's beneficial. I want to see, when fire gets beneficial to me in my own life, that's what I want, it actually empowers the seeds to come out and grow more redwoods. That's the cool part. I mean, there's so many illustrations in that. It's crazy. But the body, God took a risk, and He said, this church, I'm going to entrust my fullness. And fullness is in this right here. Fullness is in the body. It's in the grove. You can grow really fast and really strong, but I really believe it's got to be within the body. It's got to be in that framework. We can't be spiritual hermits. We got to get in life with other people. Does that mean you have to be in everybody's business? No. Does that mean you have to be friends with every person in here? I'm shooting to be, but you don't have to be. That's okay. That's my personality. That's what I love. I love to walk with people. That's okay. But you do have to be connected. Like, you do have to be able to connect yourself into the body. And so find ways in your season of life. Some of you are, you know, have 5, 10 kids sitting at your feet, and you got to be strategic in life, you know, but find ways in life to be connected, to be connected. And so I really felt like communion was going to be just a response, a part of this response. And then we're going to have some, did you get any healing things? Okay. Just wanted to check. And I'm going to pray something. I do feel like physical healing was going to happen as we're partaking. Part of the blood and the bread is a facet of God redeeming mankind, but also I really believe it has healing life in it. You know, that communion is a facet of communing with Him, and He brings healing, body, soul, spirit, whatever it is this morning you need. I'm believing a lot. Sometimes we come up here and we'll have some people up here afterwards, but I feel like God's going to be healing some people right as we take communion this morning. Just don't do that every time. And so I just feel like I just want to speak that. And so, you know, you think about the body and the bread. The body and the bread. Facet of God taking His life and laying it down for this bride. I mean, we are the bride of Christ. That's a whole nother facet I couldn't even get into this morning, but we're the bride of Christ. He laid down His life so that this could happen, so that people could come and connect in family. And so just feel like this morning, y'all can play something there, Amy, if you want. But this morning, I feel like that God's saying that we're taking this to be a part of His body. Now, again, this is a facet of His body, but remember, what did He just say the fullness is in? His body. The body of Christ. You know, that's where fullness lies. And so I'm just believing as you take this morning, you're going to experience fullness in your life this morning. You're going to experience the life of God. And so I'm just going to pray that. Lord, I just pray, even as we take communion this morning, there's a facet of the life of God in the body. You laid down your physical body for us for eternity, Lord, to redeem us for that brokenness of your body. You took on, Lord, sin. You took on, Lord, the things that we can't take on. Lord, you took it on yourself, and you paid for it. You redeemed us from it. Lord, so that then you could put the fullness in the body of Christ, that we could be a facet of walking together and building one another up, encouraging one another. And so, Lord, I just pray as we take that this morning, God, that we experience your fullness. God, this is your fullness, your body, the fullness of who fills all in all, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's take the bread together. And he took the cup, and you know, he just declared, "This is my blood, for the it's broken or poured out, spilled out for you." And you know, think about the blood of Christ that makes us white as snow, that redeems, that sets redemption in motion. You know, as soon as that happened, the veil tore, and all of a sudden, now we have access to the Holy Spirit, Lord. And you know, as soon as that blood spilled, Lord, there was just a redemption process happening, and you can enter into that redemption right now. Lord, just as we take this cup, Lord, we're entering into the redemption. We're entering into the healing fabric and life of Christ. So, Lord, I'm praying even as we take this, as we drink this, that you would fill us, not only wash us white as snow. Lord, I'm asking if there's a physical infirmity in the body, Lord, if there's something that needs healed in your body, we're just asking right now in Jesus' name, as we take this, God, that this your blood would just cover, Lord, and go through and run through our bodies and heal and redeem and restore. Lord, we believe that, Lord. We just believe that the cross, Lord, what you did on the cross was enough. And Lord, we just thank you that you paid for not only our sin, you paid for so much more and for our healing. So Lord, we thank you for the blood this morning. We thank you for the cup that we get to drink in remembrance of you. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, just bring healing and life in Jesus' name. So let's take the cup this morning. So Jesus, I pray over that. And I pray over the body and the blood, Lord, as we represented in the bread and the cup this morning. I ask in Jesus' name for just divine healing and restoration, Lord. I'm just asking you to cover, Lord, even us that maybe family's been a hard word. You know, I just pray in Jesus' name, you just even cover that, Lord. And Father, that you would just begin to restore, redeem, reconcile, Lord God. And I just thank you for all that you're doing in this time, this place, Lord, that you're so good, Lord. It's a great time to be in the body. It's a great time to be connected, Lord, so connected that we could grow 379-foot tall and not have anything but 12 foot of roots, but we're so connected. There's no way we're falling down. There's no way we're getting pushed around. There's no way that fire is burning us up, Lord, because we are yours, Lord. We're yours, and we are one another's. We're so connected. And so, Lord, I pray that over us. I believe, bless that in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you can pass your cups to the your left, somebody will come up and, or right, either one, but somebody pick it up. It's really interesting. Kind of want to close this out. If we can have the prayer teams come on up. I want to share this really quick. It's kind of interesting. Lord's been just redeeming some. I've just been watching some redemption of relationships and some things. It's kind of interesting. Wednesday night worship and prayer last Wednesday kicked off the Jewish New Year. If you can just stick with me for just a second. Kicked off the Jewish New Year, and then Brian St. Clair talked to me about something. The first 10 days of the Jewish New Year, they always set apart for getting relationships right. It's just something you do. I didn't even know it. I wish he was here. I don't think he is. Is Brian here? I can't remember exactly what they call that first 10 days. Days of awe, A-W-E, right? Days of awe. So the first 10 days of the Jewish New Year, they use it to reconcile, get reconnected with people they haven't been connected to. And it's just been really interesting. I think yesterday was the 10th day, so it kind of ended that day. But I want to encourage you, because somebody got this word, Romans 12:8, as long as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. We're called to be connected. And so that word this morning just confirmed, I was thinking about speaking that, but it's just a great time. It's a great season. If somebody you aren't reconciled to, ask God how maybe you're supposed to be reconciled to them, how you're supposed to be reconnected to them. And then the second facet is then maybe taking a connect group. You know, we're not starting them this week, but next week. There's an online, you can go down there as a bit.ly, I guess. I don't know what they call those things. I'm not so great about that. But if you type that in, it'll take you straight online, and you can look through those. They're a little bit more. I couldn't get all the descriptions on here, but you go over there. This morning, if you know you want to be in one, just rip that off. I left plenty of space. You won't even ruin the notes. You can take the notes home, and you can rip at the same time. So let's stand up, and I just want to pray for us as we close. If you have if you need healing this morning, if you need prayer this morning, if you just want maybe Lord stirred some things up and you just want some agreement this morning, I really felt a lot of our response was in the communion, taking it together, but I feel like there's some in here that need to take a step and say, I need to agree with somebody on this. I think it's a little bit more than what we just said. And so I just want to pray that over. If you know that you want to come on up, feel free to come. I'm just going to close this and pray. So Lord, I just thank you this morning, God, that we can grow together, Lord, that we can connect in family. That's what you designed from the beginning. It's what you designed, and it'll be in that, well, at the end, Lord, in Revelation, we're going to go and we're going to be in that city of Jerusalem, Lord, the family of God, Lord. You started in the beginning, we're going to be at the end, so why not let's be family here, Lord. Let's be a family, to have vision to be a family that's connected. And Lord, I just pray on whatever level each one of us can connect, I pray that in Jesus' name that we would step out and step into that, Lord. to not just be called to family, but be called to be connected in family. So, Lord, I just thank you for that. Bless these men and women and children. Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for the goodness of God in them. Thank you that they're brothers and sisters in the Lord to each of us. And I just pray right now in Jesus' name, continue to do amazing and kingdom things in each of us. And we just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.